Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. So today we are super excited to have two specialists in addiction medicine. We have Dr. Wally and we also have a fellow, Jean. So thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate you having an opportunity to discuss addiction medicine. So tell me a little bit about each of your positions and then backgrounds in addiction medicine. And we'll start with Dr. Wally.
I'm trained as a general internist and now I'm an addiction specialist. I did do a fellowship, but when I did fellowship, they didn't have addiction medicine fellowships. So I did a general internal medicine fellowship that was focused on research, but specifically on research in addiction medicine. At that time, I was interested in, and still am, and my clinical work is actually doing HIV primary care at Boston Medical Center. I also work clinically on an addiction consult service, which is a relatively new thing that's become more popular in some hospitals over the last, say, five or six years. And I got into addiction medicine really through my experience with people with HIV. So I did my medical school training in Baltimore, where there was a lot of HIV, a lot of overlap between HIV and substance use. Then residency in San Francisco, same thing that I saw in the early 2000s. And at that time, I really got to see the miracle of antiretroviral therapy, people who thought they had a terminal illness now having a chronic disease. I bring that up because I think there's a parallel with addiction medicine. There's a lot of stigma, a lot of concern that this is not something that we can do anything about, but it actually is something that we can do about. Treatment really works and a lot of prevention works. There's a lot of harms from substance use that can be prevented with education, knowledge, resources, and advocacy.
Well, I'm so amazed with all the path that you can do to come into an addiction medicine fellowship. And that really brings me to James, who has such an intriguing background in regards to what led him into addiction medicine. So could you provide an overview, James, of sort of what led you into your position and what you plan to do with your background in addiction medicine?
So in terms of my background and how I got connected to addiction, the field of addiction medicine, started off training actually in anesthesiology. Did 2 years of anesthesia training and then left training and went to Johns Hopkins to get my master's of public health degree where I concentrated in healthcare leadership and management. And then found the field of preventive medicine and general public health, which is not a field that I had heard about during any time in my previous residency training, nor during my medical school coursework. While on one of my primary care rotations, which was in Flint, Michigan, at a federally qualified health center, I got introduced to a provider that was seeing patients with substance use disorders and was prescribing medications for them for treatment. So I was able to follow this particular provider, and that's how I first got introduced to addiction medicine. I thought it was very eye-opening in a different way than other like patient experiences. For example, if someone has a hypertension or diabetes, and you know you counsel them on terms of like taking their medications, I feel like a lot of that is kind of like a one-on-one like individual like choice and discussion, and it kind of like impacts the individual. In terms of addiction medicine and addiction care, the experiences, and I always like circle back to one experience that I had in particular in shadowing this provider during my residency. I had a patient that came in and, you know, on first view, you could tell that something was going on. And then, you know, saw him as a follow-up like 2-3 weeks later. And, you know, he was definitely appreciative and was thanking the provider in terms of how he was going to now be able to connect with his young son again and connect with his family again. And that just like struck me as very eye-opening, very powerful, how your interactions with the patients can affect not only them, but also everyone around them. And I just felt that was very eye-opening, very empowering, you know, impactful, and wanted to, you know, pursue that to try to help people. And that goes to another thing, like the stigma and really being drawn to the field because of the stigma and really wanting to make sure that patients, you know, can get the care that they need, because there's so much like stigma that has to be like fought against, you know. So those are some of the aspects that really, you know, drew me to addiction medicine and to where I'm at today.
So you have provided such a great description about the reasons why somebody should go into addiction medicine based upon what you have seen through the experiences that you have. What recommendations do you have for residents that wonder whether or not they should go into the field of addiction medicine when there are so many different subspecialties that they have that they could choose from?
If you have that itch, sometimes it's good to go ahead and scratch it. And what I mean by that is if you have some sort of like interest in terms of like the field of addiction medicine, continue to explore that. It is a much needed field. So we definitely need more providers that are addiction trained and knowledgeable in terms of like substance use disorders. And I say that because there's so much like stigma still surrounding substance use and substance use disorders. And unfortunately, the patients have to unfortunately deal and battle with that stigma as well. So in terms of residents that may be interested, looking to see, you know, if your particular residency program has an addiction medicine fellowship that is there. And if they do, great. Consider doing like an elective rotation with them. If they don't, you know, kind of explore and see if there's someone in their particular residency track that can connect them with an addiction trained provider in the community so they can, you know, talk with them and discuss the field with them. There's also a lot of different like online trainings that is available just to like regular general providers that, you know, interested individuals may find helpful. And there's a lot of like basics and just becoming like knowledgeable in terms of like the basics, I think would benefit patients tremendously.
It really is important, like you said, if you do have an interest in something, to go ahead and try to experience it, especially while you're in training, if you do have an elective opportunity to be able to use within your program. But let's just say your program doesn't have an addiction medicine fellowship, or let's say you're unsure even whether or not as a resident in a field outside of internal medicine, you can even do an addiction medicine fellowship. So Dr. Wally, can you describe a little bit about who could even do an addiction medicine fellowship?
We get a lot of interest at our program and host outside rotators as well as internal rotators. And that's one way that you really get a sense of whether the fellowship is something that's good for you. It turns out that addiction medicine is a promiscuous fellowship in the sense that take applicants from all specialties set up within the American Board of Preventive Medicine, but not tied. So James happens to be preventive medicine. I'm internal medicine. We typically in our fellowship, there are addiction medicine fellowships that specialize in pediatrics. So there are fellowships where they take mostly residents from pediatrics. At our program, we're taking our first fellow from emergency medicine this year, which we're very excited about. And we already have a fellow who's trained in obstetrics and gynecology. And there are actually some fellowships that specialize in OBGYNs who want to get extra specialty training, or family medicine or OBGYN who want to get extra training in addiction medicine. Any specialty is game. Those are the specialties we see most often. But if you have an interest in, if you're a radiologist and you are interested in addiction medicine, I think it's worth exploring and considering. So, you know, the one special residency is psychiatry. I think addiction medicine is a way you can go with addiction psychiatry. There are also addiction psychiatry fellowships. So they are kind of our sister programs. Several institutions have both addiction medicine and addiction psychiatry in the same institution. We happen to have that at Boston Medical Center, and we collaborate closely with them and have joint efforts. But other programs just have addiction medicine, and psychiatrists can apply and be accepted into those programs and get board certified in addiction medicine.
And let's say that a psychiatry resident is trying to figure out what the differences are between the addiction medicine versus the addiction psychiatry fellowships. Can you describe what those intricacies may be to help somebody in making their decision about what they want their future career to look like?
You know, the addiction psychiatrists are very comfortable with psychopharmacology in addition to addiction pharmacology. And so that's, we have our fellows rotate with addiction psychiatry primarily to learn about the non-addiction psychopharmacology because there's such a strong overlap between mental illness and addiction. There's also a huge world of the overlap between medical complications and addiction. And that's where addiction medicine, I would say, is particularly strong. And so that's why you see a lot of internists in family medicine and addiction medicine, because advocating and putting patients who use substances at the sort of center of our work is a common ethic.
No, and that's so interesting, especially when you think about who takes ownership of the idea of addiction, and to know that we can all play a role and be involved in treating patients that do have addiction. I am curious, James, what your experience has been like being able to collaborate and work alongside psychiatrists who are interested in specializing in addiction, and what the differences might be in the way that you are treating the patient and what you might be looking at that is different than what a psychiatrist might be able to do.
We, as addiction medicine fellows over at Boston Medical Center, also rotate with addiction psychiatry and addiction psychiatrists. And what I found is that, yes, they are a lot more knowledgeable in terms of like the psychopharm, psychopharmacology. However, in terms of like addiction medicine, in my experience, you know, so far with addiction psychiatry fellows and others on our consult service, is that we focus a lot and are a lot knowledgeable in terms of like the medical complications, as Dr. Wally mentioned, of that particular substance use disorder, whether that's being more knowledgeable in terms of like cellulitis or like abscesses that one might be coming in with, an endocarditis, sexually transmitted infections, or infections such as like hepatitis and hep C and treatment for that. And so in terms of like the medical management and some of the medical complications that it may be related to like substance use, is definitely a strength addiction medicine and you know, addiction medicine providers.
And let's say you describe that, you know, lots of specialties, almost any specialty, including radiology, can apply to an addiction medicine fellowship. And let's say that I am a resident who is interested but don't have a program, and I decide I want to be able to go to BMC and do an away rotation. But what other ways are there for me as somebody without a program to be able to find a mentor or even learn about a research project to get involved with?
Full disclosure, I am the president-elect of an organization called the American College of Academic Addiction Medicine. We are a relatively new organization, like addiction medicine fellowships themselves. And the goal of the organization is really to support and promote academic addiction medicine, specifically fellowships, fellows, and alumni. American College of Academic Addiction Medicine sponsors is a weekly lecture series that is available. It's actually 2-hour didactic series available on Wednesday afternoons, as well as through recordings. And it features different program on a different topic each Wednesday. And so residents can become members of ACAM for a very low fee of $50. And that is one way where you can get weekly exposure to what's going on at different addiction medicine programs and hear their expertise on what they're seeing. And so they essentially cover the landscape of addiction medicine over the 52 weeks. So that's one great way to engage with programs if you're not able to actually visit them. There's the ACAM website, acam.org, acaam.org, where you can learn about individual fellowships. Every fellowship, and now there's 90 of them nationwide and growing, and you can learn about where they are, what they are. So that's ACAM is, I think, one important organization. And other places that you can learn about addiction medicine are, I'm going to focus on two national organizations. One is AMRSA. That's Association for Medical Education, or Multidisciplinary Education Research, Substance Use and Addiction, AMERSA.org. They have a national conference every fall, and there's special rates for trainees, discounted rates, and it's very welcoming organization that doesn't just include physicians, but it's multidisciplinary, like in the name. And they have a whole mentorship program that you can sign up for. Second will be ASAM, American Society of Addiction Medicine, which is a well-established organization for addiction medicine practitioners. They have a student and resident track there. Their conference is in the spring. So if you're going in the fall, go to AMRSA. Spring, go to ASAM. And there's a lot of enthusiasm and support for trainees coming in. The last thing I'll mention actually is a program that James is in, and maybe he can say a little bit about it, which is the REACH program. It's a little bit more specialized, but it's a great opportunity.
Also, a REACH Fellow is a program that was set up to encourage more individuals to not only become knowledgeable in terms of like substance use disorders and addiction care, but with a specific focus to make sure that culturally competent care is provided to individuals of color. So I'm a part of that particular program, which has been great to provide some additional education and lectures, you know, specifically tailored to some like nuances that people of color may battle and have to overcome. Not only regarding their substance use and disorder, but just in general through Yale and the American Society of Addiction, as well as SAMHSA.
One thing is cool about REACH is that while they're very excited about taking on addiction medicine and addiction psychiatry fellows, that it's also open to medical students, residents who are interested in the intersection of addiction and culturally responsive care for people who've historically been excluded, people of color. So that's a great program to check out.
Well, those sound like all fantastic programs. And that REACH question really brings me to the next question focused on ACAM and what ACAM is doing surrounding race, ethnicity, and care for people who are using substances.
ACAM is a national organization focused on promoting fellowships, but has really made in the last year a deep commitment to, well, there's a committee that the 14-point plan of specific concrete steps that we're taking to promote anti-racism, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And things on that plan include remaking our board actually to so it looks more like the and more representative of the people that we're trying to serve. So one thing I just want to say about addiction medicine that makes it particularly important that we address issues of racial equity and social justice are that while addiction does not discriminate itself, our approaches in this country to people who use substances have discriminated for a long time. And so that's something that ACAM really recognizes. But in many parts of our country, or all parts of our country, treatment is often offered preferentially to people who are white, and incarceration is often offered to people who are not white. And so that is really something that as people in addiction medicine, it's important for us to put out front. And these issues are not just legal issues, they are health issues. The way that we care for people who use substances really impacts their health. And the way that we criminalize people that use substances really affects their health. And so this is recognized by ACAM to be really core to the mission of making addiction, high quality addiction medicine treatment and prevention available to really everyone. It's about the representation on our board. It's about the curriculum that we offer on those Wednesdays I mentioned. They have specific sessions that are dedicated to these topics. It's about reaching out to fellows and residents who want to train in our programs so that we can really train physicians who are well-equipped to go into communities that have been excluded from care in the past. And it's about supporting, you know, college students, medical students, residents to get into this field with those values in mind.
It is a critical area, and it's great to hear about some of those things that you are doing. Even though it's not all 14, those in themselves, the ones that you described, are incredibly important. So it's really vital for people to go learn more about what an organization does, whether it be ACAM or any other organization that you are hoping to belong to. And so that brings me to, when you are a part of an organization, you want to know exactly what they're going to offer. And so when you're looking at fellowship, you treat it as an institution that is going to hire you, they're going to support you, they're going to give you a salary and some benefits. But James, can you talk about how we can differentiate programs when people are trying to determine where to apply, when there are so many more programs than there were 10 years ago?
It can be overwhelming, especially when you're like, you know, like anxious and like, oh, well, I'm going to apply. And where am I going to go? Like, where should I, you know, choose to apply to? ACAM website was kind of like a base for me, because I was able to find on the website, there was a list of like all of the programs, and it had like the program contact information and websites available. So I first started off by looking at the different like program websites that I may be interested in and trying to find more information from their websites. Some programs had more information available than others, but I was able to sift through and then identify some programs that I thought might be a good fit for me based on location, based on their available opportunities. I think another thing to look at in terms of programs is their focus. I was able to get from some of the program websites that, you know, they were focused in terms of like harm reduction and public health and all the available opportunities that a fellow would be able to partake in and skills that they could learn. I think that's definitely important. Also, some programs are more so focused in terms of like being affiliated with an academic institution versus community-based. Some programs are more focused in terms of like research. So, you know, an individual applying may have a particular research interest, and that program may also have providers or faculty that are doing research in that particular area. Some programs additionally offer an optional second year where a fellow could continue on to continue training and explore research as well. Although there are some programs that offer coursework for individuals during the second year where they can get a master's degree as well. So those are some of the different aspects in terms of programs. They're all different and they all have their own like strengths. I think, you know, really have to weigh what the individual wants to get out of fellowship, where they would like to be, and see how that can best set them up for their career in the future.
Well, you brought about a lot of things to think about. And like you said, there are so many different dimensions to what a program offers and what you're looking for. And it sounds like an away rotation is a wonderful opportunity to get to know one program if your home institution were to allow it. And so when you're thinking about timeline for applying to your fellowship, Dr. Wally, when should you be thinking about getting your application together with your letters of recommendation? And when are you actually submitting an application and then hearing about whether or not you've matched?
Addiction medicine is coming into the modern age. So it's been now, I think, 2 years that we've used the ERAS application system. Most programs are using the ERAS system, which you'll be familiar with because most residency programs use that. And that opens up early July. And we are starting to look at applications now in August and trying to think about who we're going to invite for interviews. And so at our program, we start interviews in September. They go into October. What's new this year, which is great news for everyone, is that for the first year ever, addiction medicine is part of the match. And so that's really great because I think the match is designed to benefit the applicants so that they get their highest ranked program. The match results will come out, I think, in mid-November. And so it's on the same fellowship schedule that many fellowships are. I will say that because we're expanding, there are more fellowship slots nationwide than there are applicants. And so even after the match, you know, it's possible to apply. And so, you know, it's not like the game is over. And in fact, while we filled in this past fall, unforeseen circumstances, we now have some open slots, and we're still actually interviewing folks for this coming season.
Well, it's great to know that the process is evolving and changing and that you're becoming a part of an official system with the ERAS application and then match day once again. When you become a fellow, must be an exciting day to determine where you're going. Well, you both have shared such incredible opportunities for us to think about in regards to what addiction medicine is, who can apply, and what ACAM does as an organization. So is there anything else that either of you would like to share about the field of addiction medicine or about the fellowship application process?
It's been very eye-opening. There are some days that are tougher than others, but there are, you know, stories of success that lets you know that you're doing the right work. And we need more providers that are knowledgeable and trained in terms of substance use disorders and addiction medicine to treat patients as people, to treat individuals that use substances as people. And to make sure that they get the needed medical care and treatment for their substance use disorders, just as they would for their asthma or diabetes or hypertension. So if you're considering addiction medicine as a field, we would definitely welcome you to the field. And, even if it's something you want to focus in terms of like healthcare policy and advocacy, in addition to direct patient care, there are all of those avenues in which addiction medicine trained and providers that are more knowledgeable in terms of substance use disorders can make an impact on in terms of like advocacy and policy work as well. So if those are some of your interests, definitely we would welcome you aboard.
Well, that is a wonderful call to action to be able to encourage people to look at the field. Dr. Wally, anything else to add?
I'll say that there's never been a better time to go into addiction medicine. And there's a little bit of a double-edged sword in saying this, but because of the overdose crisis and the increasing knowledge of the real trauma that many people in our country are facing because of substances, there is actually recognition and some destigmatization of the field, and that it's better than it has been in the past. That means there's opportunity. There's opportunities that we haven't seen before on this scale, as far as grant funding, as far as mobilization by government, collaboration between groups that didn't collaborate before, and many of them are looking. Substance use disorders as health problems, and they're looking to physicians to help them sort through this. And so I think if you're really looking to make an impact, then this is a great field to pick. I also will say that the job opportunities are better than they ever have been. There are more positions than there are people to fill them. James is someone who is going to take a position that I think he should be really proud of, where he has the opportunity to take care of patients and have some leadership experience that, in other fields that are more crowded, it'd be difficult to get a position like that. So we need you to apply to addiction medicine. We need people from all backgrounds, all specialties, really. And I think that the future is bright if what you're interested in is trying to take care of people who really need it and to have an impact on some of the most important issues that our country is facing right now.
Well, you have both made such incredible points and bring so much value to those who have some interest in pursuing the field, but don't even know where to begin or where to look at opportunities. So I really appreciate both of you joining us and talking about the field of addiction medicine. But one last thing, we like to end our podcast with a fun fact totally unrelated to the field that you are in. So starting with you, James, tell us a fun fact about yourself, totally unrelated to addiction medicine.
I'm a big Saints fan. So who that? I'm from pretty close to New Orleans, so that's my fun fact. So those things, who that?
And what about you, Dr. Wally?
The Celtics didn't win last night, but hopefully by the time this podcast goes out, they will have advanced to the NBA Finals. So yeah, I'm a Celtics fan, but that's one thing. Another thing is I'm a father. I'm extremely proud of my two sons. My youngest is about to graduate from high school. And so that's something that's not related to addiction medicine. I will give unsolicited advice for those of you with children: cherish every moment. They get big and grow older very fast. And so cherish every moment, as important as addiction medicine is, from somebody who is about to face an empty nest, enjoy every moment that you have.
That is also very important advice. Well, that's all the time we have today with Dr. Wally and James. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music. Be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from other awesome leaders in medical education.